I just need about two or three people that can say he keeps on. He keeps on. Blessing me over. 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 Over again. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Never stop blessing. He blessing me over. Choir. Amen. We thank God that he blesses us over and over again. Amen. I'm going to do a little advertisement. COVID doesn't look like it's ended, but that doesn't mean that we should stop singing. Now, I can remember when the choir stand was full. So I'm going to put in a little advertisement. Y'all don't mind me doing that, do you? I'm going to put in a little advertisement.
Come on, Pastor.
There's some tenors that need to be on the choir.
Come on.
There's some sopranos that need to be on the choir. There's some altos that need to be on the choir. Yeah, I know folks still coughing. Folks still wearing masks. But we still need some folks on the choir. Are y'all here? Amen. God bless you. God bless you. I'm not going to hold you a long time today. I want to invite your attention. The passage has already been read. But I want to reread a passage that Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 7 that I think is very critical. So often we can find ourselves coming to church and wanting to get blessed that we forget all about the warnings that the scripture gives us. We can look for the verses that tell us God will comfort us, but we don't look at the verses that tells us God wants to correct us. So we got to preach the whole gospel, which means we need to tell the story about heaven, and we need to tell the story about hell. Are y'all still here? So Jesus in Matthew 7 brings out the point, wherefore by their fruits you shall know them, verse 20. Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but those that do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in your name cast out many demons, and in your name done many wonderful works. And I will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. From these verses, I want to preach a message today, the back door to hell.
Come on, Pastor.
The back door to hell. Let us pray. God, we thank you again for your mercy and grace. Help us, Lord, to avoid the things that you have given us in the scripture. Help us, Lord, that we might take heed, but most of all, we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. By all means, Lord, don't let us end up at the back door to hell. Help us, God, to walk through the gates of glory, that we might give you praise and all honor. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Look at somebody, Zell. Tell them, watch that back door. You know, we live in a world where people are making many, many assumptions. They are assuming things. It's human nature that we not only are prone to making mistakes, but we also are known for our faulty assumptions. Amen. We go on things that might be true. We go on things that sound good. Brian Lee has a website called LifeHack. And in that website, he listed a couple of things that he calls faulty or misleading assumptions that people make. We assume if we ignore a problem, it'll go away. We assume that other people have more than we do. We assume that we are right because we thought about it and we have come to a logical conclusion, and other folks are just plain stupid. We assume that. We assume that being in a relationship with someone automatically gives us the right to tell them what to do. We assume that the grass is always greener on the other side. We assume that working someplace else is better than the place that we're working right now. Yeah. We assume that if we take the risk, nothing bad will happen. We assume that if we play that number, we'll win the jackpot. We assume that. Yeah. We assume that we can get even with people, and that'll even the score. We assume that. We assume that if you have seen one, you've seen them all. We assume that. A big assumption is that if we had more money, that'll solve all our problems. You don't realize that problems come with money. Amen. I realize a couple of dollars might help. But don't assume that. Another big assumption that people make is that if we live long enough, or if we live a long time, that will make us ready to die. We assume that. Another big problem that people have with assumptions, they assume that the big problem that people think that their assumptions are true and that things will work out just the way that they've imagined. Another common human flaw in thinking that can cause anxiety on the one hand and cost you your life on the other hand. You cannot build your life based on assumptions. Amen. You can't assume that. The alternative to living life based on assumptions is to live your life based on your faith in God. Amen. Let me say that again. Living your life, there's an alternative to living by assumption, and that is to live your life based on faith in God. Amen. When you have faith in God, the Lord will work things out. Won't he do it? Yes. Assumptions can wrongly devalue people. Assumptions can overflate your own ego and create pride. Assumptions can lead down a slippery slope of placing too much confidence in man-made formulas. Assumptions can cause you to miss out on the great opportunities that heaven has to offer. The people in this verse, they made some assumptions. Those were tragic assumptions, but notice Jesus gave them the warning ahead of time. Ahead of time. Are y'all still listening? Yes. See, you're warned ahead of time if you're speeding. I was on my way to church this morning, and I noticed where the sign said 55. I looked at my needle on my car, and I kept on going. Now, nothing happened this time. Are y'all still in the house? See, we make assumptions. We make assumptions every day about things. We assume, I don't need to take my medication today. I can skip a day. And then when the headaches start, stomach aches start, then we start complaining. Wonder what's wrong with me. Next thing you know, you're on your way to the doctor's office because you didn't do something you were supposed to do. Do not make assumptions with your soul. The tragic thing about this verse is that here was a group of people who assumed they were going to heaven. They assumed that they had it made, and Jesus gave the warning. Are y'all still here?
Yes,
now, I talked about folks knowing what back doors are. I can't talk to church folk on this because they don't know that. Some of y'all know about them back doors because you had to run out of some of them. Come on now, come on now. You ain't that sanctified. You ain't that holy. You know about some back doors. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, a English preacher that lived in the 1800s, latter part of the 1800s, and preached to multitudes, he spoke in a sermon about the back door to hell, where people who thought they were on their way to glory ended up being dragged down into hell, not through the front door, but through the back door. See, the folks that go through the front door, the obvious one, they're the murderers, they're the thieves, they're the whoremongers, they're the adulterers, they're the folk that do wrong. Not us. Not us. We walking right. We talking right. We living right. But back in the day, we used to have these 45 records that had a B-side. And on the A-side, you had one record that was playing, but on the B-side was something else. And usually it wasn't as good as it. Y'all ain't going to talk to me today. Y'all not going to talk to me today. You're not going to talk up in here today. So Jesus brought this out. He brought out the fact that people were making assumptions about a place, had never been there, and had never taken the time to investigate whether or not their assumptions were true or false. I learned a little bit in college where it said that if you come up with a theory, then to test the theory, you have to come up with an antithesis or an anti-theory. You have to prove it. You know, back when we used to do math, and some of us now, we depend on our phone, but back when we used to do math, back in the old school, the simple way.
Yes, come on.
If you added something, you'd go back and prove it by subtracting. And if you subtracted something, you go back and prove it by adding something. Are y'all still here? And that would let you know that, yes, I got the right answer here because I proved it. I proved it. Have you, ladies and gentlemen, tested the assumption of whether or not you're going to make it into heaven? I'm not talking about what you tell folk. I'm talking about, do you know for yourself?
Come on, Pastor.
I had to check out my own self. You know, my wife and I, we're getting ready to take a trip somewhere, and they said, you need a passport. If you don't have your passport, you can't go certain places. You can only stay here in this place, which was the United States. United States, because you were born here, you got citizen rights, right? But when you step foot in a place that ain't owned by the United States,
right.
you got to have a passport.
That's right.
Which means a legal authority has to issue that passport to you. Otherwise, you ain't going over there. You ain't going to France. Mm-mm. You're not going to get over in Canada. The people will look at you as an illegal person because you don't have something to prove that you can go in there. Are y'all still here?
Amen.
I'm going to tell you at the close of the message who's issuing the passports to heaven.
All right now.
It ain't your mama.
Come on.
It ain't your daddy.
No.
It ain't your preacher.
Come on.
It ain't your church.
No.
There's only one person that's issuing your passports to glory, and you better get to know him. So we find out from this verse that folk that indulge in the back door delivery or backdoor religion, they had three common flaws that folks will fall into today. Flaw number one, they fail to obey God's will. Notice Jesus brings up in this verse 21 and 22, he said, "Wherefore by your fruits you shall know them." By their fruits you shall know them. And then he goes on in verse 22, "Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Notice the last part of that verse, "but those that do the will of my Father which is in heaven." Those that do the will of my Father which is in heaven. Problem number two, these folks take credit for something that they didn't do. They said, "Lord, Lord." Notice the language here. It goes on in that verse. It says, they said, "Lord, Lord, Many will say to me today, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? We preached. Mm-hmm. Yeah, preaching some of the main ones that ain't going to make it. Back door. Yeah, that's right. Back door to hell. And in your name cast out many devils. And in your name have done many wonderful work. In other words, they showed up at the pearly gate and said, hey, Peter, let us in because we did all this neat stuff. They're taking credit for something that they didn't do. You see, that's like taking somebody's credit card, going out and buying a bunch of stuff, and then bragging about it when it ain't your credit card. You ain't got to pay for it. Y'all mighty quiet up on here. These are the people that enter into the back door to hell. They take credit. Now, you and I know, you got enough sense to know that if you pray for somebody and they got healed, it won't you that healed.
That's right.
Now, am I right?
Yeah.
You got sense enough to know that if you cast out a demon, it wasn't you that cast the demon out, but it was God who sent his power to move out the demon. You might have been just a person to announce it, but you didn't do it. Doing the miracles is from God. You can't do it. You can't even save yourself, much less anybody else. Are y'all still in the building? So we have to make sure that we're not fitting in the crowd. And then the third thing that Jesus brought out is that they deny God's way of living. He said, I will profess to them on that day, I never knew you. Look at the last part of that verse. You that work iniquity. What is iniquity? Well, in the old day, we used to call it sin. All right. How many of y'all, when you out in the street, you know you were doing wrong? You ain't make no excuses. You'd like an old dog that got lost and on his way back home. When they pointed you out, you took your head like that. Come on now, be for real. Yeah, you've been out drinking and everything, and now you're trying to show up at church on Sunday morning. Stuff still on your breath. Here you are at church on Sunday morning. You tuck your head. Folks nowadays bold about their stuff.
That's right.
They're bold about their sin. They're bold about telling you, this is my life. I live it the way I want to. Oh, really? Let God catch your next breath and hold it, and you won't be able to do anything. Let him withhold your next heartbeat. Then you're going to know who is God. But how many of y'all know that you're thankful that the Lord blessed you to turn around? You got to the place where you met the Lord, you knew him, and he won't he make you walk right? Won't he make you live right? That's what I'm talking about. People who know the Lord know that he is the one that changes our life. Now, let me tell you something, Crossroad. I got to bring this to your attention. I got to bring this to your attention. That little tiny word that says many. It doesn't say everybody, but it says many. Look at that word for just a minute. Many means a whole lot of folk. Many might be some in here. It just might be. So what I'm asking you to do is check your spiritual passport. Make sure that it's stamped for glory, because otherwise, by default, if you don't check your passport, you're going to find yourself at the back door to hell. I know it's tight, but it's right. You can't pretend your way to heaven. Back in the day, we had a song called, Oh Yes, I'm the Great Pretender. Pretending to be what I'm not, you see. Pretending that everything is all, did I step on somebody's toe? I wish I had bought some Kiwi shoe polish. I was using some this morning, shining up my shoes and trying to get right before church. You know what I'm saying? I wish I'd brought some today, because I'm going to step on your toe. Everybody that preaches on Sunday morning is not going to make it. That's what the book says. It says many. Everybody that sing on the choir, everybody that sit on the pew, everybody that ushers at the door, some will.
All right.
I want to tell you another different definition for many. You can also substitute that word and say most. Because in the Greek language, many means multitudes, whole bunch of folk. Now, going back in the day, y'all remember when you used to go to party? You say, who was there? Everybody. Everybody was there. Lottie, Dottie, everybody. Now, obviously, everybody meant many, and it meant most. So if you wasn't there, you was of the few. In this case, I'm glad I'm of the few and not the many. Come on, clap your hands, all you people. Yes, many on that day will find their back door to hell. We expect for those who live brazen lives, who ignore the word of God, who slander others, who abuse themselves, who cheat and lie. We expect him, as we would say in the old day, to bust hell wide open. The problem comes when people have snuck around. You know, I've seen these cartoons where somebody, the wolf is going to sneak behind the bush. Some of y'all have been listening too much to Clarence Carter, Backdoor Santa. Johnny Taylor. And now you got in the mix Snoop Dogg and all these other folks. Come on, young folk. Y'all talk to me. I don't know the latest one. Little Kim, Big Kim, and every other Kim. If you ask a lot of folks, you going to heaven? Oh, yes, I'm going to heaven. Question is, how do you know? And how you know depends solely on who you know.
All right. That's right.
Some folks in the church are going on the fact that my father was a deacon on my pastor, or my daddy was a pastor, or I had some high rank in the church, and some people depend on that. But you better be careful with that. In this verse, Jesus brings out the fact that these folks were doing some things that churches wish they could do. Casting out demons. Preaching with power. Do you not know that there are folks in this country who have preached to thousands, then a couple of weeks or months later or years later, you read in the newspaper, scandal. God already knew their business. And the only thing he did was peel it back and say, see, I told you. They found that back door to hell. Some of y'all looking nervous, so let me hurry up and get to the end of this argument. A lot of people are looking for a good cover-up, and there are things that folks do in order to cover up, and they assume things about heaven. In this verse, Jesus said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But I'm so glad that he says no one. He didn't say that. He says not everyone.
Right.
Read your Bible carefully. Amen. Which means that there are some who will enter in. And who are those, preacher? Those that do the will of my Father.
Amen.
Every day, ladies and gentlemen, you have a choice. Whether or not you are going to walk in the will of God or you're going to walk your own way and live your own life. Do not make the faulty assumption, it's my life. I'm 3 times 7. I'm so glad you can multiply. But being grown does not mean that you ain't going to need the Lord.
Right.
How many of y'all needed him in your life? Problems came. Sorrows hit you.
Yeah.
Persecutions happen.
Yeah.
On your job, folks lied on you.
Yeah.
Tried to get you fired.
Yeah.
And you had to fall on your knees and call on the living God to make a way. And only God brought you through that. I'm telling you, you need to get to know him.
Amen.
But then the assumption that people make is about good works. Thank God for people who do good things.
Yeah. That's right.
But give God all the glory. Give him all the credit. As one songwriter said, I can't even walk without God holding my hand.
Amen.
I'm going to tell y'all something. As you get older, you're going to see how much you need
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
How many of y'all, your knees half working? You get to get up and shake them in the morning. People see you stretching, they think you're doing exercise. You're trying to get stuff to work. Yeah, the hymn writer said, I need thee every hour. And you got to pray every, Lord, help me, Jesus. You've had a strange, what I call a strange pain to hit you. One that you never had before. Never knew was going to come your way. And then your mama whispers back to you, I told you. We give God the credit for the work because we know it's Him that causes us. Thank God for being in the place where we've been called to do the work of God. But ladies and gentlemen, unlike those who have found that back door to hell, we should do the work giving God all the credit and all the praise. Why? Because any time you turn God's work into a three-ring circus, God ain't in it. And do you not know, let me tell you something else, the devil can do miracles. The devil can work signs and wonders. So all the signs and wonders ain't coming out of heaven. Sometimes it's coming out because of the evil work that Satan done. And I can tell you some work that Satan can't do, he cannot save a soul. He cannot redeem a life. He can't pick you up and turn you around from evil. Only God can set you on that right path.
That's right.
So if anything is done in this church, we need to do it for the glory of God.
Amen.
Yes, we love being on Facebook. Yes, we love being on the air so that we can put the gospel out. But let me, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. It ain't about us. It's about the Savior.
That's right.
My job on Sunday morning and the job of every preacher is to introduce you to a man that walked on water.
That's right.
To introduce you to someone who calmed the raging sea. That's my job. That's what I do. And I try to do it because I know He's certainly been good to me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I was telling the Lord the other day, I said, Lord, ever since I met you, you've just been good. Since I got to know you, you just get better and better because He is our wonderful God. Yeah, you better stop talking about the back door stuff. Start talking about the front door. Because that's where we're preparing. We want to meet the Lord in glory. But in order to meet the Lord in glory, you got to meet Him right here. You can't wait until you're on your dying bed. I'm going to get right after a while. Don't gamble on that. If you like to play the number, don't gamble on that. Some of y'all missed that. I know what some of y'all thinking. As soon as I get out of church, where he come from? 721. Let me play that one. Watch it. Those of you online, watch it. The work of God is something that's so serious. And it's so honorable for God to call us into something that we couldn't do. So in closing, ladies and gentlemen, don't live your life as a pretender. Be for real. Even when you fail and you know you fail, go directly to God. Go directly to Him and say, Lord, you know what? I messed up. I didn't do what you wanted me to do. And I'm asking for your forgiveness. And God is so gracious. Not only does He not want you to go to hell, He wants you in heaven with Him. Because He's the one that gave you life. He's the one that caused you to walk on this earth. God wants the glory in your life. So why not give Him that chance and that opportunity to live in you? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. So, preacher, how do you do that? How do you do that? Well, as I close today, I wanted to share with you three things that you need to really think about if you're going to know God, if you're going to not make that back door to hell, but to walk through the pearly gates. Here's what you need to know. Number one, never take God for granted. Don't take God for granted. You take the time to acknowledge Him. Saying great, simple things like saying grace over your food. Don't just pinch your nose. I'm in public now. I gotta pretend I'm pinching my. No. Go on and say the prayer. You don't have to be bodacious in folks' faith. I be ready praying now. No, you ain't got to do all that. But you do need to take the time and say, Lord, thank you for this food. I realize that every time I eat a meal, somebody in this world is starving.
Amen.
So I'm grateful that God has blessed me. Never take God for granted. And I know some of y'all young folk, you got up this morning, you hurried up and put on your clothes, you got ready. Us old folk, it takes us time. And then you say, why making them old? Why those old folk? It takes, we old now. We can't move like we used to. I was going through security, visiting the Senate when I was working at Community Action. We were going to visit the Senate. And so you know how it is. They go through security. They make you take off your belt and take off your hat, take off your coat, take off your shoes. And the gentleman, I was taking a little bit too long. And the security guard got mad at me and looked at me and said, some of y'all folk need to hurry up and get through this line. I heard but Ben old, I'm an old decrepit man now. I can't move but so fast. Quit getting after me. And he looked shamefaced. And I was so relieved that he left me alone. Hallelujah. God is good. But do not take God for granted. And Jesus in this verse, you can hear it in the subtleness of the verse. He's telling people, if something good is happening in your life, don't take God for granted. Amen. Give thanks unto him. Amen. In church, when you come in the morning, we're inviting you to give thanks to God. This choir invited you to join them in singing and giving God praise. Why? Yes. Because without God, only bad things happen.
That's right.
And even when bad things happen with God, he's still with you to walk through it. How many of y'all know that today? Your grandma had some good theology. She would say, he walks with me. He talks with me and tells me I am his own.
Yes.
God wants you to really take him seriously. And you should do just that. The second thing that you should do, stay humble as you serve God. Imagine these folks. Getting up in God's face. Have not we prophesied in your name? Have not we cast out demons? Imagine that. If you come before God, come boldly, but come humbly. Humble yourself and know that he's the creator and you are the created. Make sure that you're covering yourself with the blood of Jesus. Make sure that you're saying to him, Lord, I don't deserve to be here, but I'm glad that you welcome me.
Thank you.
Walk humbly with your God each and every day, because that is the command. And lastly, get to know him while you're on the journey.
Yes.
How many of y'all ask God questions while you're praying? I mean, just show your hand. You're praying, but then you ask God, Lord, why, what does this mean? And why did you say that? And Lord, show me how to do that. How many of y'all do that? One of the most blessed walks that you will have on your way to heaven is to ask God questions and then wait on him to give you the answer. Isn't it sweet?
Amen.
So when you get to heaven, you'll already have your passport. As a matter of fact, not only will you have your passport, they'll know you before you get to the gate.
Okay.
Hallelujah, somebody. They'll know you. They'll know you. The tragic thing is this verse as we close today. Is that all their life, these people who professed to have a good faith in God ended up at the back door of hell. But the worst thing about hell is not the flame. It's not the heat. It's not the fire. It's not the darkness. The worst thing about hell is that God has withdrawn his presence from them. You will never know the comfort of a great shepherd. You will never know the peace of his guidance. You will never know the love that he has because you're in hell and you're separated, cut off from God forever. I don't want that to happen to any of you. I want God's best for your life. So if you walk with him now, you'll live with him later. What God says is, you give me a house to live in. I don't care how messed up it is. You know how folks say they're funny about their house. Oh, don't go in this room. Don't go in there. It's all messed up. He knows your house is messed up. That's why he wants to come in. If you let him live in your house, he'll let you live in his house. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. So the choice is, which place do you want to go? Back door to hell, front door to heaven. It's up to you. I can't make that decision for me. Don't say, well, Reverend Cole, no, don't put me in it. That's your decision. Those of you online, you can't respond the way that the people out here are responding. But what you can do is say yes to the Lord. You don't even have to write us. Just say yes to Jesus. Yeah. And those of you that are in here, say to the Lord, yes, Lord. I'm going to do it your way. God bless you. May heaven smile upon you. That's my sermon, Back Door to Hell. Tell somebody, go to the website, listen to it, because you need the warning so that you can walk the path. I'm going to ask everybody to stand. If you are one of those professors and not possessors, today would be a good day to change. I'm not trying to shame anybody, not trying to put you on the spot. But what we are trying to do is to make sure that you have your heaven's passport. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you again for your amazing grace. You love us enough to call us out of darkness into the marvelous light. Some of us have lived enough hell on this world that we certainly don't want to wake up in hell when we die. And there's only one way to avoid that place. That's through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that people would profess that today. Possess it, and then live obedience to your word. Help them now to make that choice. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've made that choice the first time, we ask that you come forward. If there be one today, doors of the church are open. Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come. Is there one? Is there what?
Talked about this back door. But you know there is a front door?
Yes.
And this is what we talked about this morning in Sunday school, and that is walk in the Spirit.
Amen.
Father, this morning we are so thankful.
Thank you, Lord.
So grateful that you have given us a message today. And we do pray that the Holy Spirit will just convict us as we depart, O God, from this sanctuary. May we allow your Spirit to lead and guide us so that we can tell others about this back door. May we, O God, demonstrate in our lifestyle that we belong to you and that we can share your love with someone so they too will find that front door. Thank you for this privilege, we pray.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name.